Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What Do You Collect? Episode number 7. I am your host, Evan Jenkins. And this week, we're going to get into my collection of sneakers and also the internet sensation, NBA Top Shot. Of course, I want to remind you that if you have any submissions that you would like talked about on the show, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram and Twitter, with both the usernames being at KingOfTheKC, or you can always email me, Evan.Jenkins, J-A-N-K-E-N-S, at Entercom.com. If you would like your items talked about, if you have a question about value on items, you can always send that to me as well. Or maybe you're interested in buying something. You don't really know where to start. I can help you with that. But I do want to start today by talking about my sneaker collection, which I deemed complete about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. It was closer to Christmas. And the reason I said that was because I wanted to get the Air Jordan 11, the Adapt. If you're not familiar with the Adapt is the Back to the Future show. Or the Back to the Future shoe. It is the self-lacing technology that Nike has come up with. Now, the first pair was these Nike Mags. That was the shoe that Michael J. Fox wore in Back to the Future. And those shoes are a five-figure shoe all day long. You're not going to get your hands on them. And there was a very, very limited release on them. And I think when they were released, they were all done at auction through eBay. But anyway, Nike decided to take this technology and put it in basketball shoes. And they had the first, there's two pair of Nike Adapt basketball. They're sweet shoes. I really like them. I thought they would be heavy and players wouldn't wear them. But last year when they came out, you saw Jason Tatum in them and other players across the NBA. But they decided to do it with an Air Jordan. And my favorite Air Jordan is always going to be the Air Jordan 11. It's the Jordan that he wore when he came back out of retirement. So when he came out of retirement in 94, 95, he was wearing the Air Jordan 10. The 10 was produced while he was playing baseball. And he wore it for a few games, but it wasn't until the Eastern Conference Finals that he decided to bust out next year's shoe. And it was the white and Concord 11, which changed the sneaker game forever. Ever, in my opinion. You might remember Boys to Men wearing them to an award show. And what Michael and Tinker Hatfield wanted to design was a sneaker that you could wear on the basketball court and also to a social event. And he did exactly that. I remember my parents weren't buying me those shoes when they first came out because they knew that I would just run through them and there was no point of spending that much money. And this is before they were super hard to get. But I will always remember in 2000, I was a senior in high school, and they were coming out at Champs. And at the time, Lakeside Mall was the mall that we would go to. So I begged my father, is there anything I can do to get you to go get these shoes when they come out at 10 a.m., right? I called my father about 12:30, whatever time lunch was in high school. And I asked him, did you get the shoes? Did you get the shoes? He's like, no, I was too late. I went at noon. I'm like, 2 hours late? Come on, man. You can't do that. So that was a shoe that I needed to get because it was my favorite. Flat out, that was my favorite shoe. I was going to wear it, and there was no doubt about it. Well, the Space Jams came out that same year. The first time the Space Jams had been released. And the only time that we had seen them was when Michael wore them in the movie Space Jam. And if you're not familiar what they are, they're the Concord Jordan, the Air Jordan 11 with the patent leather, but they're all black and they have a Concord Jordan swoosh on the side. And they were sick, and I managed to get them. You know what I did? I played basketball in them nonstop and loved every last second of it. Well, I trashed them, because if you play basketball in those shoes as much as I did, they were bound to be trashed. Which now brings me to my quest to get the Concords. So they had already been released twice. Well, the third time, I was not going to miss out. I was already working at the ticket at the time. We were $1,270. And I had to take the day off. I had to make sure when these shoes came out, I got them. So I took the day off, and I waited at finish line at Great Lakes Crossing for 8 hours to get these shoes. I had to do it. You know, they were a midnight release, and I got there at 4 p.m. People looked at me like I was crazy, but as the release got closer to midnight, people started offering us about $600 for our place in line. No chance. The money didn't mean it to me. The shoe is what I wanted. Got those shoes. Loved it. So now I have the Concord. I have the Gammas. I have the low top all black. I think they were called the Barons. I have the all white, the 25th anniversary. Not the Carolina pair. That's the one that I'm still searching for. So when I say my collection is complete, that's the one that I would make the exception for, because it is the one that I've wanted the most. Because I'll take you back a little bit more. When I was in seventh grade, there was a kid named Mike who let me wear those shoes. And it was the coolest thing in the world. Now, you're probably like, wow, you would wear another kid's shoe. I was a kid, okay? I didn't really think of it, but boy, were those sweet. But the Jordan obsession really, really started when I was in fourth grade and I saw somebody wearing the Air Jordan 5s. That tongue, that puffy tongue caught my eye, and I just knew I needed them. So now my collection is not what it used to be, because I did sell pairs. I did have a big problem with getting the shoe and not wearing it. And to me, what's the point, right? I'm not that rich or rich by any means that I can just sit on shoes. So there have been pairs where I only wanted to get them because I knew I was going to resell them. And some of the examples are the OVO Jordan 10. Drake. If you're not familiar with OVO, it's October's very own, and that's Drake in his clothing line and everything that's involved with him. And he came out with a pair of 10s that were all black, and then there was a white pair as well. I managed to land the black pair, and it was the first pair of shoes that I sold on StockX. I think StockX is a phenomenal website. Yes, there's fees. I understand that, but unless you're willing to go meet up with random Joes in parking lots of your favorite convenience store, then so be it. But I'm okay with paying the money for the middleman to do the work for me. All I have to do is print out a shipping label, put it on a box, and ship it. And within 2 days, since StockX is in Detroit, it works quicker for us in Michigan. That's the first pair. I've also had the Travis Scott 4s, the blue ones, sold those. I've been lucky enough to land a couple pair of off-white sneakers, the Air Max 90 and also the off-white 5, which happened around Christmas, not in 2020, but 2019. And that was a huge get, but I just can't justify in my head wearing a pair of $500 sneakers around. I'm not that cool, nor do I have to be that cool, but to each his own. And some people have no problem with it and want the drip and they want the swag. And I understand that. But then there are also shoes where, you know, I've been such a diehard Nike guy my entire life because my favorite athletes were always Nike athletes. Michael Jordan, Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson. We all remember the commercials. We all remember the Bo's, the trainers. We remember the Deion Sanders trainers. Then it happened. Shaquille O'Neal came into the NBA. And we all remember going to Sports Authority and seeing that size 22 Shaq pump on display. That was the shoe that was super hard to get. I managed to get it a few years ago when Reebok re-released them. Not as cool. You know, the pump system doesn't work. You can't release the air. Not as cool, in my opinion. But the silhouette of the shoe itself is always going to render classic to me. I also have some blacktop pumps, which, you know, if you watch any of the dunk contests in the 80s, D. Brown wore these pumps, pumped them up beforehand, closed his eyes and made the dunk. It's forever going to be remembered as the D. Brown no look. I love the pumps. I remember walking through Sears as a kid and always seeing the pumps on display, whether they were tennis balls or whatever the pump was. I always wanted them. They were too expensive. So I got the LA Gear pump, which wasn't as cool, but they were still pumps, right? And they were cool enough for me, and I loved them. I loved them. I wish LA Gear would come back with them because I would buy those in a heartbeat. I also love Air Force Ones. Air Force Ones now aren't as popular as they were, say, 2000, 2001, 2 or 3, whenever Nelly came out with the Air Force One song. I don't think that is what like propelled them into being such a sweet shoe. I've just always loved them because they're a clean shoe, and that all-white Air Force One could never be duplicated, and it's always going to be a classic shoe that you could wear with jeans or joggers or whatever it might be, and I see that they're making a big comeback now. But the Air Force One also, you know, it was Rasheed Wallace's shoe. And then they came out with the Sheed version that was all patent leather with the blue and the white. And they had a silhouette of his jumper. Awesome shoe. I love them more than most. The Air Maxes I love. You can never convince me that you can have enough Air Max. Whether it's Air Max 1, the 90, the 95, the 97, whatever it might be. All of them are sweet shoes. They're comfortable. They look great. And those are the ones that I'll still get. I'll still manage to pick up Air Maxes. I just feel at 37 being a bald dude, and I just can't rock Jordans like I used to be able to. So my collection has wound down, but I'm still very, very satisfied. I'll take some photos. I'll post them on my Instagram at King of the KC, and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. But now I have to talk about NBA Top Shot. NBA Top Shot, we discussed with my good friend at Driz Betts a few weeks ago on What Do You Collect? And at the time, people were still kind of learning about NBA Top Shot. And he was on it from the infant stages. So NBA Top Shot, if you're not familiar, is a digital basketball card. I'm going to use the term card loosely because it is not a card at all. As a matter of fact, it is a highlight of a player from, let's say, six different angles. It's really, really cool. But would you ever pay for that? Would you pay to own a highlight? You don't own the rights to the highlight. You own this digital card, which is a highlight. Well, the Top Shot Twitter account already has 130,000 followers, and they're only in their beta stages. So when I talk about the beta stages, that just means their website and what they're going to do is not the final product. So when you think about beta, think about the betas that you would get for your video games, whether it's Call of Duty, and they want to get the user experience and work out the bugs and everything before they have a super wide release. But what is kind of crazy is these packs come at random times and days. And on February 25th, there was a premium pack drop. Premium pack, that's what everybody's going to want. Because the common packs, they cost $9. You'll get six cards, and out of those six cards, hopefully you get something good. Now, this premium pack was $99. Okay, so you thought maybe it would limit some of the people that would attempt to get these packs. Well, they postponed this premium pack drop indefinitely. They say they will keep us updated with announcement as they are working through some troubleshooting issues and working to make the best experience and as fair as possible for all collectors. Thank you for understanding. So what that means is when you go to buy a pack of NBA Top Shot, there is a queue that opens for about 10 minutes before the sale actually starts. Anybody that gets in that queue is going to have a chance at this pack. Now, most of the packs are either 25,000 available, 5,000 available, or this one I think was 11,000 available. But it is fair because it is all a lottery system. So it makes you think, is it really a lottery system? And I would say yes. And the reason I say that is because if you're interested in the shoe game, which I talked about earlier, you understand there are bots. And if you don't understand what bots are programs that people make on a computer that instantly get you to check out for that item. And it does it automatically. Makes it way easier, right? Well, your average Joe will never figure out how to do that, won't be smart enough to buy one, or just doesn't want to go through that hassle. And I think that's what NBA Top Shot was trying to limit, is the people that are trying to outsmart the internet. Which, you know what? I absolutely love. I love it. And then this week, Mike Valeni from the Valeni and Rico show dropped up, boom, on me. I've known Mike for over 15 years now from working here at the radio station. And Mike and I get along very well, but one thing Mike could never understand was my love for memorabilia and collecting. And now I think he's starting to see it. And what made him see it was the dollar signs in everybody's eyes. And I'm not necessarily in it for the profit. Now, don't get me wrong. If I have something that's not valuable to me sentimentally, will I sell it? Absolutely. But I try to turn that then into more collectibles for myself. Dumb? Maybe. I don't think so. What was interesting was the Action Network published a story about the booming card market takes its first small dip of COVID era as the attention shifts to other collectibles. So there is data from eBay seller Rick Probstein. You've probably seen it. He sells a lot on consignment. Said that, well, the top cards are still seeing record prices. We're talking about the Trouts, the Jordans, the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes, the top cards. We're talking Mickey Mantle's, so on and so forth. He says the regular cards are down about 10% over the past 2 weeks, with even more common cards being down about 20% in his estimation. And that's because these collectors, I use the term collectors very loosely, because these are people that are, maybe I should call them profiteers, because that's all they're looking for is to make a quick buck. So the people that want the items for themselves, which I think is few and far between now, are less likely to have a chance, because you're going to have people with big money that can buy more and look for the profit. Well, there is also data from Sports Card Investor that shows a decline, but not as drastically as Rick Probstein was saying, showing that the average card is actually up 1% in the last 2 weeks, but that basketball, the primary sport of the COVID era collecting, is actually down 5% over that same period. And he says some of the iconic cards have finally cooled off and are contributing to this market fall, said Jeff Wilson, who runs the company. Kobe's 1996 Topps PSA 10 is down 28% since its high point, which was February 12th. LeBron's 2003 Topps Chrome is down 23% from its highest point on February 6th. So what is doing that? Is it the people that were investing in these cards has now taken their money over to NBA Top Shot? Very well could be that. If you go to NBATopShot.com, you can go to the marketplace and you can see and view these, I'm using air quotes, cards. They're really, really cool. But then go look at the prices. It's kind of built out like StockX's, and you'll see the lowest ask and then you'll see the highest ask. And they are drastically different. You'll see a card of a common player. I'm just going to use an example of Jeremy Grant. The low could be $140, and as high as $250,000. That's right, $250,000. It's wild, right? But does it have the staying power? There's also a guy from this story. His name is Patrick Ryan, and he has a big Instagram following. And he said, what we are seeing with the card market feels a lot like what we saw from 2015 to 19. Prices take three steps forward and one step back. And the modern and vintage markets are never synchronized, because when we start to see enough volumes to push prices down in one category, it generally because money is moving out of another category. He continues on to say, obviously Top Shot is getting a lot of attention in dollars, but so are some of the more traditional categories like autographs and memorabilia. This rise in price is authenticated signatures of Jackie Robinson, Babe Ruth, and Arnold Palmer is undeniable. Where Ken Golden of Golden Auctions also talks about this, and he thinks a 1996-97 Topps Chrome Kobe Refractor is going to sell in his current auction at Golden Auctions for more than $1 million. At the very high end, Golden broke the record for the highest paid 1986 Fleer Michael Jordan rookie card when he sold two of them for $738,000. But then last week, that same card sold for $615,000. It's a big difference. So the question is, does Top Shot have the staying power, in your opinion? And what is it going to take for it to have its staying power? Because I'm going to be honest, the reason I think baseball cards, basketball cards, and so on had its staying power because every single person could afford them. When you say that they're out of the price range for your average Joe, I don't think they have the staying power. We're not talking about designer clothes like Gucci where there's always going to be a market. This is already a niche market, and then on top of it, you're going to make a niche market that you have to have a lot of money for. I don't know if it has its staying power. I doubt it, but I think a true test is going to be 3 months from now, so maybe in episode 17, I come back and I talk about it, and I talk and see, do the prices remain? Are people out of a lot of money, or what is exactly going on? Because like I said, this is the infant stages of NBA Top Shot, and we have to see where it evolves to. We have to see after the beta what happens. Are they going to make their product less limited? But then that will also hurt the price. Or do they go the route which they already kind of have, where they call them golden moments, where there's less of certain cards and more of others? We could see that, and that is what could keep the hobby with NBA Top Shot just going. So I want to hear from you. Let me know. Send me a tweet. Send me a message on Instagram at KingOfTheKC for both of those accounts. Or you can always email me, evan.jenkins@entercom.com. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know if you think there's staying power. And show off your collection to me so I can talk about it on the next episode of What Do You Collect? And as always, I just want to know one thing. What do you collect?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.